Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. This is Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, let's go around the league. Let's hear from D'Amico. D'Amico's out there at the owner's meeting. Cody Stutes was on the scene. He asked D'Amico about these additions. They've made a lot. Danielle Hunter, D'Nico Autry, Joe Mixon, just to name a few. What does D'Amico think about all this wheeling and dealing he and Nick Caserio have done?
And it's not just one guy. It's multiple guys. So being able to add multiple guys, move around and do a lot of different things, it just unlocks things for us when it comes to a schematic standpoint. And we're able to add really good football players. That's the key. All the guys we added have had success in this league. They've done it for a while. So excited to see what those guys bring to our team.
I like this this whole thing, and you're going to hear more. I think D'Amico Ryans says a lot. He doesn't do as much during the season for strategic reasons. I think he says a lot about what their philosophies are. Like he kind of did there. Like it's not he didn't want just a big ticket item. I mean, they were looking for one, but it wasn't a big price in Saquon Barkley. So I don't think they were necessarily ever really in on Mike Evans. He likes the good, kind of the smart, big money kind of guys. You know. That he can find some value in. And then you're going to hear some more, and I think he's a little bit more revealing about just their whole approach.
Yeah, here's him on the Joe Mixon thing. I thought this was interesting. You know they want to run the ball. They've talked about it a lot. Here is him talking about the addition of Joe Mixon.
Yeah, with Mixon, we're looking to add a running back, same, right? We're looking to add depth. We're looking to add a playmaker at that position, and I feel like Joe is the guy who's done it for a long time in this league. He's been very consistent. Going against him for multiple times, like he's a very physical runner. And he does a great job of protecting the ball. So does a great job in the passing game, just all around back. So be able to add him to our team helps our offense.
And on this one, I feel like you're getting a very good glimpse of, you know, a lot of people have a type. I think that's his type. I think he likes the violent running, running back that can catch the ball a little bit, punishing type, but not necessarily like a bruiser, but a punishing type of finisher. That's what he liked in Damian Pierce. I think that's what Saquon is, and I think that's exactly what he likes.
Still need an element to that run game, man.
No, you do.
I need a little something more there.
You do. You absolutely do. But I think he has a type, and this is it. Because Saquon is that kind of guy. You know, kind of a punishing, you know, violent type guy. And Damian Pierce is that kind of guy. I remember during the season, I always wonder if D'Amico just likes Damian Pierce. You know, if he just likes that style. Well, maybe he's letting us know here.
Now, if I put a gun to your head, the imaginary gun to your head, and I told you, you have to guess this right. Would you bet more on Damian Pierce establishing himself as a guy that's playable in games or Damian Pierce not even being on the team next year?
2025 or this coming season?
This coming season. Damian Pierce gone or Damian Pierce being a contributor?
I think contributor. Yeah. Still pretty young in his contract. Worth the effort, you know, to try to make it finally work.
I think he has the right attitude, man.
And they like him.
We love Deontay Foreman, and yeah, that was our guy, and he's been in the studio a couple of times. And whatnot, and I don't think Bill O'Brien treated him the right way, but yeah. A lot of it, I don't think he had the right attitude. I think Dameon Pierce has the right attitude. Mm-hmm. I'm with you. I would think him contributing in some way, shape, or form. Now, I still think you need to get a guy that can be your second running back.
Yes.
And perhaps that can do some things and be a natural fit more so than Dameon Pierce, and perhaps a young guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm with you. I wouldn't bet on him just not being here. But who knows? Anything could happen.
Yeah.
What about the draft trade? Nick Caserio, he decided to trade back 19 spots into the second round, traded the Texans' first-round pick, got a second next year, and a late-round pick swap. What does D'Amico think about that?
Yeah, the thought process behind, moving back, in the draft is just, we feel like in this draft there's a large amount of players right in that second to third, fourth round. It's a lot of guys right there that can come in and help our team, right? We feel like that's where the, as I said, the sweet spot of the draft is this year. And so we're excited about that move, and we feel like we can add some really quality players to our team.
Man, he didn't even mince words there. He's flat out said it. We think there's better players in that little area of the rounds. I mean, Nick Caserio kind of hinted at it. He just flat out said it.
Nick Caserio tries to cover all ground and say if we want to trade back into the first round. For me, if y'all trade into the first round, you look weird. You look weird because you're risking something.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe it ends up where we look at and we say, okay, they traded their second round pick and they traded a third round pick to get back in to the first round. So basically, it would essentially be you did a third round, second round pick swap.
Yeah.
And you have that pick next year. That, to me, would look kind of weird, and it's also kind of risky. So I just don't believe that they're going to trade into the first round. I hope D'Amico said is actually the truth, because trading back into the first round would look weird to me.
Especially if you trade after 23 and get a guy. That means you could have gotten him at 23.
Yeah, so you risked it.
Yeah, yeah.
You either misevaluated or you had an unnecessary risk.
I think they've told us. I would not expect a trade back into the first round.
Owners are expected to vote on a proposal to make Cal McNair the principal owner of the Houston Texans. He would replace his mother, Janice.
Yeah, I think a lot of things at work here. But overarching on that is I think Cal and Hannah McNair are the team that really has earned this. And I think the way that they've done a 180 on their reputation, people embrace them more. They seem to be working well together. Let's not be foolish, though. I think there's been some strife, let's say, in their family, and this is a good way to kind of, hedge against that.
The NFL has banned the hip drop tackle.
Okay.
I'm not sure what that is. I watched the video, and I'm still not quite sure what that is, but it's another penalty. It's generated a lot of conversation, discussion. J.J. Watt not too happy about it, but the hip drop tackle is gone.
I get the player safety thing, and it's probably a good idea if you're basically dropping from, wrap around a player and you drop and he kind of buckles or whatever and you could fall on his legs or you could twist something on his lower body. I get all that. What I don't like is you're trying to kind of legislate a lot of the interpretation by referees out of the league. Like, you're increasing some replay possibilities. In fact, another rule change was that you can get back a replay challenge if you're successful on one. So you're trying to take the guesswork out of the game, and then it's a completely guesswork kind of call.
It's a lot.
Yeah,
you're asking referees to do a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mike Florio's weighed in on it.
Oh, I was waiting for this.
You want to hear this? This isn't even a post. This is Mike Florio just going, man, how thirsty is this guy? What are you, sir? Are you an aggregator? Are you a journalist?
Yeah.
What are you? Here is Mike Florio's opinion on this. To those who flatly refuse to care about offensive players who get broken ankles or high ankle sprains from having a defender's weight land on their lower legs, think about what those injuries can do to your own personal fantasy football teams and or prop bets.
Oh, God.
Someone replied, why even tweet this? He said, to try to get people to give a crap about players getting serious injuries and to make the point that too many people only care about stuff that affects them directly.
You're right, though. I mean, he could just be a reporter, an aggregator, and not have to do any of this. But that's neither here nor there on Mike Florio. I don't think people care about that with the hip drop. They care about
what the players are the ones who are most complaining the most about it.
Yes, like player, and not just defensive players. See, the thing about it is you can't, especially like let's say you're talking about a quarterback. You cannot go high on a quarterback. You cannot put your hands above the shoulders on a quarterback. You can't go low on a quarterback. We've seen numerous calls that way. And now you can't wrap around and drop him down straight. How the hell are you going to sack a quarterback?
No idea.
Yeah.
No idea. I don't know what's going on. Tennessee Titans, they made the trade for Snead, and they traded a third round pick and a late round pick swap, and made Snead the one of the highest paid corners in NFL history. Mm-hmm. This is perhaps one of the more eyebrow raising moves of the offseason, along with the Calvin Ridley move. I just don't know what the Titans are doing. Were they going to rebuild? Are they going all in? Do they believe in Will Levis? They're functioning like a team that feels like they're a move or so away. And I thought part of getting rid of Mike Vrabel was accepting that you were not. So I'm having a hard time understanding what exactly the old Oilers are doing with the moves that they're making.
Yeah, you put that better than I did earlier. Just in a nutshell, do they think they're really that good? Because they're not. They're a purgatory kind of team, you know, good enough to win some games, not bad enough to have the right kind of rebuild. I think there's also an aspect of desperation from the owner, just a proving stamp, you know, stamp of approval and everything, because she's been embarrassed and they've fallen flat. And lo and behold, her old city's team is looking like it could be making a run. A combination of that. And is it Ron Carthorne? The GM.
Yeah,
he certainly has to be looking over his shoulder a little bit. The head coach has been fired, so maybe he's doing a little bit of a desperation kind of philosophy here. And then the new coach,
Ran Carthorne.
Yeah, and then the new coach, they're giving him everything he wants, and he's like, okay, I want this, this, and this.
Does he think he has a quarterback?
He must, or at least he's saying it. But they're not. Do they think they're that good? Because they're not.
I don't know.
They're not that close.
I really don't know what they're trying to do and what they're doing. And I could understand. I'm not even criticizing the excitement, because I said this at the start of free agency. I don't really recall a team spending big in free agency and then their fans being upset that they got some of the big name guys.
Yeah.
Like after the fact, it might not work out. So I don't even knock that. It just doesn't seem like they have a plan.
Mm-hmm. Now that is true.
And then there's reaction out of Tennessee, and I'll be honest, Morocco T's crazy ass is one of the guys I look at just to get the pulse of the obnoxious Titans fan. And there's like some satisfaction that, oh, we got Ridley and the Jags wanted him, or we got Snead and the Colts were interested. And it's funny how when they wanted to do it, it wouldn't have been bad, but when the Titans do it, it's different. They're in different spots. Like when the Texans were rebuilding, if they would have paid Danielle Hunter, I would have said that's weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would have said that's strange. Like, what are we doing? That's weird.
Mm-hmm.
But the Jags and Colts, they were close to making the playoffs last year. They were a game away. The Titans weren't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do they think they're that good?
They don't have a plan. That's for sure.
Yeah.
We got a draft in a month. 13 months from now, Shedeur Sanders of Colorado could be the top pick, or he could be among the top picks in the draft, along with his teammate Travis Hunter. This was Deion Sanders. He was on $1 million worth of game, and he was talking about what could happen if the wrong team tries to draft his son.
You predict Shedeur and Travis going in the draft?
Top four.
Ooh, that's beautiful.
Anywhere from 1 through 4. One of them is going to be one.
Mm. That's what I'm talking about.
One of them is going to be
speaking into existence.
And the latter one would not go behind four.
Mm.
Now, all this is subjective, because I know where I kind of want them to go.
Mm-hmm.
And let's not forget Shallow, okay? Mm-hmm. But I know where I want them to go. So there's certain cities that ain't going to happen.
Okay, you on point.
It's going to be a, it's not a, I'm sorry, it's going to be an Eli.
In other words, if you draft him, he ain't playing for you.
Are they getting kind of ahead of themselves?
A little bit ahead of themselves. I'm not saying but both these guys could easily be top four. I'm not saying that.
They could?
Yeah, they're talent alone. But they could easily be out of the top 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot to put out there, man.
Mm-hmm. It's Deion.
How are they going to do this year? Colorado. Didn't make a bowl last year.
How many
year.
Transfers did he get?
I don't know how many transfers he had. I know they weren't even recruiting for a while.
Yeah, they didn't have any, right? They didn't have any commitments.
Yeah, how are they going to do? How many wins you got? I mean, 7? 8?
I don't. Maybe.
There's a lot going on.
Maybe 5.
Did you hear what Shador said?
About what?
His his path to the where he's at.
Yeah, he's had a rough life.
This is Deion's,
a lot of obstacles.
This is Deion's son talking about his upbringing and where he's what he's had to go through to get to where he's at right now.
I came from a private school, so at the end of the day, I dealt with a lot of negativity, a lot of hate, a lot of everything I done dealt with already year after year. I came from a small private school. All the other kids was going big, Power 5, and they went to big 6A, Texas 6A schools and stuff. I don't see those same kids around. I don't see them excelling in their programs or whatever they're doing. So I've always been against the odds, in different ways.
I kind of feel like there's a lot of...
Lies?
Well, I mean, let's just start here. I don't feel like the 6A high school in Texas kids, I feel like we can find some pretty good examples of them striving.
I think they're doing all right.
Yeah, I think they're doing okay. I'm not 100% sure, but I think we can probably find a lot of examples of them performing at a high level. Just look at the University of Texas and some of their draft guys coming out.
Just pick
that's
any
number
university.
One.
Yeah.
Number two, why is it that every kid these days, no matter what, feels like they have to be an underdog?
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? What is this crap? Peyton Manning doesn't have to try to act like he's an underdog, and people don't hold it against him.
Yeah.
You earn what you earn. But here's the other thing. Let me look at this tuition price for Trinity Christian.
Where he went. The little small private
school. Would you like
to
send your granddaughter to pre-K at Trinity Christian?
I don't know. Tell me about it.
Well, it's going to cost you $14,940 to go to pre-K.
Yeah, no thank you.
So, okay, no thank you?
Yeah.
Okay. What about high school? How about high school? Would you like to send your... This is the against the odds school that Shador Sanders went to. Would you like to send her
it
to high school?
It sounds like it. Sounds like I would, yeah.
Okay. All right. For ninth grade, that's going to cost you $28,170.
For school.
For 10th grade, that's going to cost you $29,190. 11th grade, we're getting upper class, $30,160. And then for senior year, let's go $30,950. And there's some other fees in there. Come on, man. You do your thing. Have success. Enjoy yourself. Don't apologize for anything. But you don't have to try to force this I was an underdog narrative. It's not necessary.
Well, there's another aspect of this. First of all, that's $120,000. To get to high school, you underdog, you. And secondly,
to get to college.
To get to college. And
I'm sure he wasn't at any camps either.
Set the money completely aside, you underdog. Let's say you got a full scholarship to this private school, which some private schools do that.
Yeah.
So you didn't have to pay a nickel. You're Deion Sanders' son. You're not an underdog. You've got some genes. You've got some techniques. Yeah. You've got some coaching from the time you're in the womb.
And I'm sure you have to deal with more hating. You have to deal with unrealistic expectations. So I'm not,
that's not being an underdog.
I know, but I'm not completely dismissing what you may have had to go through.
No,
and
it's
hard.
I'm
not diminishing.
Hey, but superstar, bro, all
bro,
that stuff.
Not everyone's an underdog.
That's not an underdog.
Like LeBron James, dude. And he kind of squished it and talked out of both ends. You're not just a kid from Akron.
No.
You were driving a Hummer to high school.
No.
You were on magazines at 13.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to try to be an underdog. You ain't got to force it. Peyton Manning, good for you, man.
Yeah.
You were born to an NFL player. You figured some stuff out. Congratulations. I'm not judging you for that.
Yeah.
You don't have to force the underdog thing.
You didn't go to Nederland with Hayden Hefner, a class 3A school or whatever, and fight your way to the top anonymously. You're Deion Sanders' son, and you went to a school that it cost $120,000 to get through.
Props to you.
Yeah.
props to you, man. Do your thing, be you, all that. You don't have to act like you're an underdog, though.
Yes.
It won't think any less of you. Do it how you want to do it. But my God, kids, like what is going on with all this? It's insane. Coming up, the internet goes nuts. The marriage we did not think we would ever see. I cannot believe this. John Lopez and Jack Easterby joined at the hip. Who would have thunk it? Next.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I got the internet going nuts.
Internet going nuts here on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Stuff that broke the internet. Jack Easterby.
How about that?
Jack Easterby and John Lopez together for the cause of Texas A&M basketball.
Don't pair me with
Before we go, man, let me get y'all's prediction, man.
Jack Easterby was on the sidelines. Buzz Williams was asked by Jason Bristol, what in the hell is that POS, person of service, doing around your young men and your kids? This is what Buzz Williams had to say about John Lopez's new bro, Jack Easterby, being by the A&M bench.
What kind of impact has he had on you and your program, the players, and does he have an official role with the program?
Oh, no, he's just visiting. I've known Coach Jack for long before he was with the Texans, so I would say long before I was at Texas A&M. I would say over a decade now. Yeah, he's just here at the game.
So good job by Bristol there to get it out there, because he's a national
story.
Good
job asking the question, man.
The Chronicle didn't do quite as good a job. In fact, they did a bad job because their headline said, Jack Easterby working for the A&M program or something along those lines in an unofficial capacity. He's done like three or four chapel meetings or prayer meetings, whatever you want to call it. They didn't even like what's his name in the story. I don't know if it was Carter, whomever, one of the A&M players said, yeah, we didn't really even meet him until like the Georgia game, which was March 2nd. So he's been around the team for 3 years. He's doing some chapel meetings. And that was kind of insincere by the Chronicle to do that.
Ooh, shots fired.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm not going to deny that because I thought that was very deceptive. But let me just say this. Jack Easterby, to me, has not changed in one iota.
I wouldn't want him around kids.
He is he's a fraud. He's a con man. He's a pariah. He's a shyster. He is
unaccountable.
Manipulative, unaccountable. He's a snake. He's all those things.
Faith, family, football.
Yeah, no. But I don't think it's going to be like he's going to be in the program or anything. I think, you know, he's Buzz's guy. Did some prayer meetings. He hang around the team. Now, I'm not
back
saying
back when he was doing his Greatest Champion.
Yeah, they got together.
Charity. Well, my thing is this. His experience and Caserio's experience and people in New England, their experience with Easterby is different than the one here.
Mm-hmm.
Here, he was the biggest scumbag, low-life human being
he
in the world.
He was revealed.
He was a total fraud, and this is not secondhand accounts. I've witnessed a lot of the lies firsthand. But he was different there. But my thing is this, like, Buzz Williams should at least, like, take that into account and have some sort of understanding of this.
I think he does. I think he likes him. Clearly, they are both men of faith. And clearly Buzz is, you know, doesn't seem to buy into too much of anything other than his prayer and friendship, prayerfulness and friendship. But the A&M athletic department, when asked about it, even said, no. He's not official in any way.
I got the internet going nuts.
All right, so this is, I guess, predictable. Hey, Shohei Ohtani is going to have a press conference today. Except he's not. So Alden Gonzalez tweeted that he's ESPN's baseball reporter. He tweeted a little under an hour ago about the Shohei Ohtani press availability today that was announced this morning. Ohtani will not be taking any questions from the media. Instead, he will read a statement. It's not a press conference then. It's not a press availability. It's not clarity of any kind. It's a lawyered up statement that he's going to read and then leave. I think he's going to end up looking worse by doing this. You got to take questions. Got to.
He can't speak English, John.
Well, he has an interpreter. Well, wait a minute. He has a new interpreter.
Yeah, but this isn't Sammy Sosa knowing, like, having full English conversations and then going to Congress. Like, he literally can't speak English.
Well, what I'm saying, though, is you can get a translator. But if you're not going to answer even the most rudimentary questions,
that's hard, though.
Even with a translator, answer them.
But I mean, even then, you can't tell context and stuff.
Sosa used a translator.
Yeah, but that was because he was faking it. Like, this guy really can't speak English.
No, I think this is a bad, bad look by Shohei.
I got the internet going nuts.
Charles Barkley had some pretty funny moments during the NCAA tournament. This was him first making fun of Kenny Smith. This was after Kentucky lost. Kenny Smith stating the obvious, getting called out by Charles Barkley.
I think a dynamic loss in terms of expectations of fans around the, you know, the country. So that was probably big. But overall,
probably.
But, you know, I mean, hey, but it just good, keeps going.
Good job, Captain Obvious. Captain Obvious over here.
Probably. Yeah, pretty dynamic
obvious,
loss.
Kenny. Pretty obvious.
Pretty dynamic.
Then Charles Barkley went off on Grand Canyon after they lost to Alabama. This was perhaps the biggest roasting of the tournament so far.
Grand Canyon, that was the dumbest game of basketball I may have ever seen. Like, I'm not sure what they were doing offensively. I don't think they ran a play the entire second half.
I couldn't dissect one.
And, you know, Gino was doing, he said, Gino said this was the craziest game. I said, if he mean dumb, so some of the worst basketball decisions that you're ever going to see a college team make out there.
I'm befuddled trying to figure out what they were trying, because there was no semblance. And I had never seen them play like they played great all
they
year.
They just went one-on-one every single time. Yeah, they didn't run any plays. Yeah.
Five assists on the night.
Five whole assists?
Yeah. Well, you 32% and 2 for 20.
Hey, let me say this. We got a crack staff and they found five passes. Let's just.
0061 on the text line, by the way. He's on a roll today. He said now Tyler is going to want to take a picture with Easterby.
Get a jersey.
A&M wins, and then he puts the picture with him and Jack. Happy for this guy.
Let's go, Jack.
I got the internet going nuts.
All right. I don't know what the story is or when exactly it's supposed to drop about Kim Mulkey, the LSU former Baylor coach.
Four-time champ.
Four-time champion. But she is really helping that story a lot. Like, she is really spelling the name right.
The Washington Post, I guess, is coming out with a story, and she...
I have no idea what it is.
She took a few minutes to say that she's going to hire a defamation...
Yeah.
...attorney or something like that to attack it. And then And this was before they played, and then after they played, she was asked about it.
Kim, obviously not the start that you guys wanted today. Just wanted to ask if externally, if you guys felt like you maybe were distracted a touch, and just talk about how your team was able to just weather that early start.
No, listen, man, we're not going to let one sleazy reporter distract us from what we're trying to do. Absolutely not. My kids didn't even know I said that yesterday. That team's not involved in this. They were in shock when they saw all that on the internet. I don't take that stuff to my team. Was that the question, or did you have a second part?
And she is pumping up and promoting this story, whatever it is. Usually these things end up being kind of a letdown, but she's on offense against this story. So we'll see what it is. Wasn't it supposed to be today?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I know the Washington Post. I know Portnoy with Barstool had some issues with the Washington Post before, and now she's kind of doing her thing. I do find it interesting because I just kind of sit on the sidelines of like this, but it seems like there's like some people in media that are just kind of foaming at the mouth to go at Mulkey, though.
Oh, yeah.
It does seem weird.
Yeah.
Does it not?
Like, no.
What all controversies has she had? Because she had the COVID controversy where she was talking about COVID,
mm-hmm.
and then the big COVID.
Then she didn't have any contact with what's her name when she was in the Russian
prison.
What
was she supposed to do there?
I don't know.
I saw Reddit college football say she didn't do anything for Brittany Griner when she was in Russian prison.
Yeah, I don't think she was supposed to do anything per se, but kind of like just avoided it all, you know. I mean, that was a girl that won her two championships.
So what was she supposed to say?
I don't know. I'm saying that's the con. You asked what the controversies were. That's one of them.
I know one was COVID.
One was COVID.
And then I saw that Sando NFL guy who was basically the COVID beat writer whenever NFL was going through COVID. Good God.
Yeah.
He was coming in on her. I don't know. It seems like there's a lot of foaming at the mouth folks to go at her. Speaking of foaming at the mouth. I do want to read that story, though.
No, that's what I'm saying. She's helping him out.
I got the internet going nuts.
So there was a hot mic on the court. This was Bol Bol.
Oh, wow.
The son of Manute Bol.
Yeah.
He was playing Victor Wembanyama. Did you hear this yet, Figgy?
I did.
So they called the foul on Bol Bol. He didn't touch him.
Mm-hmm.
And listen to what he said on the court with the hot mic on.
And Victor draws the foul.
Phoenix foul number 11. Bol is second foul
on Bol.
I get it.
Man, y'all.
I get it.
Y'all riding, bro.
Y'all are bleep riding.
I get it.
Well, he should. The answer is yes, they do. It's just happening a little sooner for him.
Bol not happy.
Not happy. We'll get used to it.
I got the internet going nuts.
Ryan Elvin had the internet going
the
nuts.
White dude for the Cougs.
Yes, kudos to him.
Boy, they love him.
They love them some Ryan Elvin. First of all, you're gonna hear Kelvin Sampson and Jamal Shedd and I think Emmanuel Sharp talking about him post game, and nothing but good things to say. So I'm sure he's just a fantastic kid that works really hard. But I don't care what anybody says. That dude, as much as he was prepared, looked like he was about to wet himself on both free throws. Like he, understandably, I know I would be, but like this whole like nerves of steel thing, I think he got one or two and was really glad that he did that.
Did you think he was going to miss both?
What?
Did you think he was going to miss both?
I did. I think some of them did. Go ahead.
Go win on Sunday mornings. It's my favorite time because nobody's there except one person, Ryan Elvin. I've never been in there on a Sunday morning and Ryan Elvin's not on that gun. He is he's such a great role model for our guys. One of those guys that has it.
I was shocked missed one. He works just like we work.
He's got it.
If I'm being honest, he works harder than we work. You can ask anybody on our team and they can vouch for him. Anytime we walk in the gym, Ryan Elvin is in the gym working, helping somebody else work. That's a guy that, you know, we trust, is a pillar of our culture. Honestly, I'm shocked that he missed one. Kudos to Ry. Way to step up.
What is it?
He's got it.
I used to think I knew what it was, but if he has it, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, well, he's got it. I'm glad he made it. I mean, obviously, I was cheering for the Aggie, but I'm glad he made it because I'd hate for the kid to be with that the rest of his life. But he was, like, he was terrified. Oh, my goodness.
First to leave. Mm-hmm. Or first to arrive, last to leave.
Yeah.
Shout out to him. Internet going nuts here on
NBA. I got the internet going nuts.
So the Texans, they have signed a slot corner. Boy, they love the they love that 2020 draft. They've already brought in two top 10 picks from it. Now they brought in an undrafted guy, Miles Bryant, from the New England Patriots, slot corner, four interceptions in four seasons. They've brought in another corner. I'll say this, they're bringing in some bodies.
They got a bunch of bodies
at corner. They like that. They like that COVID draft, that 2020 draft. What are we making of this?
You know what I'm making of it? They are bringing in a lot of cornerbacks, and they are trying to figure it
out.
They're going full Bill O'Brien. It's all about competition.
So what is this just going to be, a free for all?
I mean, they're trying to see what sticks, man. They're trying to see what players might have something left, and what players don't. I mean, they got, like, if you look at their two deep, it started out like, man, who's going to play corner? They don't even have any warm bodies, and now they got them all over the place.
Are we positive that Jack isn't going to be working for A&M?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Positive. What if he does?
If he does?
Yeah, give me something.
If it's anything
you
more.
Boycotting?
If it's anything more than Chaplin.
Yeah.
Because keep in mind, when he was chaplain in New England, they won a bunch of Super Bowls. And yeah. and Bill Belichick would say, no, he doesn't know personnel.
Yeah.
You know, he kept him in that role.
Yeah.
And he was good in that role. He was a fake and a phony and a fraud, but he was good in that role for the Patriots.
Yeah.
So if he's anything more than a chaplain, they deserve anything they get. Like, anybody who hires Jack Easterby in the sports world deserves – I mean, I'm going to always cheer for the Aggies, but they deserve everything they get because it's out there. He is a pariah.
Can you at least write a letter?
I will write a strongly worded email.
Can we get a letter if Jack Easterby gets hired by Texas A&M?
I might have already texted a person or two. I may or may not have.
I was so happy when that I was tickled, actually, when that happened, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
That's internet going nuts here on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up, the madness. We'll react to it, plus we'll look ahead to the madness that is for the Texans. That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Thank you, Figgy.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, March Madness. Banger yesterday. One of the biggest events, really, of March Madness. It happened to be local. The Cougs topped the Aggs. Kelvin Sampson survive in advance. I thought he deserved any fate that he got yesterday. You decide not to foul, under 10 seconds left, up three. You get what's coming your way. Fortunately for him and fortunately for a lot of our listeners, they ended up getting the dub and they sent the Fighting Easterbys home. with their dub.
You're trying to cling to that as long as you can.
Hey, your guy. Your guy, Jack Easterby.
Thank you so much, John. I hope you're well.
I think I made it pretty clear. Not my guy.
I think March college basketball is one of three sports that owns multiple days from beginning to end when it comes to American sports annually. Olympics is once every 4 years. I don't, you know, I'm not going to say Olympics. I'm not going to say, you know, a certain, like, as far as
somebody
annual
said
events,
Stanley Cup, that's
okay. That's one game.
Yeah.
And I don't think they own,
or even
much.
The NHL playoffs, they don't own the days.
No, they don't own the
days.
They
don't even rate highest.
Right.
Compared to some other NBA games.
NFL, you know, owns Sundays. College football owns Saturdays from morning till you go to bed. And March Madness does a few times a week. Those are the only three sports in American sports that can say that.
Yeah, and I said this earlier, and somebody said, well, actually, it's not a sport. I used it as an analogy, as just as some sort of illustration. I said March Madness by itself is the third biggest sport in America. Because college basketball is barely noticed. Like, the ratings are just nothing compared to anything else. But March Madness is a lot bigger than baseball, like the baseball season. I mean, the numbers will tell you that. And I think, you know,
baseball playoff games are,
yeah, those are huge.
Know when they're, well, are they?
No, but I'm saying, like, World Series, Championship Series, those are huge. But they don't own those days. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, first two weekends of the tournament, they own them.
It's theirs.
Like people schedule around them.
It's just theirs.
Just like you're going to the early service at church because you don't want to miss the noon kickoff. Just like on Saturdays in college football, you're going to not coach your son's little league team because you got to be at that game, or you got to be watching that game at home. They own those days. You know, the NCAA tournament is the third biggest sport in America.
Is the bracket challenge, like with the college football playoff, gonna take over and just set it off? Is that what we're going towards? Because I didn't even think about that element, because that brings in some people who wouldn't normally care. Are we going to get to that point?
Yeah, I can't wait for it. I think it's going to be right up there, probably fourth to start with, but ultimately maybe even bigger. There's going to be a bracket in college football. It's going to start out 12.
Yeah.
I think it'll soon be 14. And in a number of years, maybe not that long, I think it's going to probably surpass March Madness even.
12 out of 16 are chalk, which I think is good.
Yeah.
There haven't been as many upsets. I think it's going to help the ratings. Have there not been enough upsets for you? Because I know you like an upset every once in a while.
I think everybody does, and I think it's what keeps you it keeps you kind of engaged with it, and why it's so popular. But we've had like the – I don't know if I would say hadn't been enough. It's been enough. I mean, it's been some great one shining moment clips. You know, there's been enough of those. Whether it's what's his name from Oakland, you know, or Anderson Garcia last night hitting the three to send it into over. There's been enough moments that people are just, you know, enthralled with it.
I feel like you. Where were you when you found out that Jack Easterby was part of the program or whatever the accord?
I think I was on a boat.
And what happened?
I rolled, because I'm not trying to be like, I don't even know what the word is, like diffusing it or defensive or whatever. I just, because to me it's very, very clear. Everybody knows about him. They know he's a fraud and a con man. He's friends with, or at least whatever, with Buzz Williams. So he was around the program. He's done some prayer groups. He hadn't even been around the team since more than 3 weeks. And all that said, I know he's a snake and a manipulator. So he may even try to manipulate his way into the program. He won't, because I think enough people at A&M, you know what he is. But even if he does.
But you had to have been like, what the
No, I
F
said it was an
that?
Eye roll. Yeah, I was like, okay, so now he's trying to do
it. It was
this.
Just an eye roll?
Yeah.
Because, no, what the F is that?
Yeah, because of what I'm just saying. Like, nothing's going to come of it. But even on the small percentage of a chance that something does become of it and he works his way into the athletic department, they deserve what they get because they know what he is. So I'm not even, yeah, Yeah, I'm not. And the other difference that's big with Easterby and Aggie basketball as opposed to what he was here, they have a competent coach. Like even though he's his friend, Buzz Williams is not going to say, you know what, you're my recruiting director. You know, let's go. He's not going to do that.
You're in charge of personnel.
Yeah. Yeah. And they have a new athletic director, too, in Trev Albert. So he's going to bring, he knows what the story is here. But the worst thing about it all, and I think the most revealing thing, Jack Easterby knows his reputation in Texas. He knows his reputation in the country right now in sports. He's not even smart enough to say, you know what, I'm just going to hang back. Like, hey, even if Buzz says, hey, why don't you come to Memphis? You know, we'll hang out. Maybe you can have a little prayer group with the boys, and then you can watch the game. He's not smart enough to say, you know what, I'm going to watch the game, but I'm going to do it in my hotel. Because he wants to be out there. He wants to be. He's either too dumb or he just wants to be out there. He's one of a kind. Well, unfortunately, he's not. But he's one of very few people that are just that tone deaf.
He was on the court, man.
He was on the court after
front
the first
row
game.
At the press conference.
I know he was at the press. Whatever. He was at the row. Press conference.
Front row seats.
Yeah, he was at the press
in front conference. Of the media.
Mm-hmm.
He went and sat front row.
He's wearing a bright green vest.
Yeah.
A puffy vest, too.
Front row.
So I don't know about that.
I mean, that's insane.
No, he's tone deaf. He's.
Do you not think Buzz Williams is tone deaf, too, though?
I think Buzz Williams didn't think it was going to get this big this soon. Like I said, he brought him after the Georgia game. Hey, guys, you know, let's do a prayer with Jack Easterby. This is a guy I've known for more than 10 years, blah, blah, blah. And I didn't think he realized, you know, what was gonna happen. And then, but even he said, no. He's just visiting. I think that's what he said, right? He's just visiting.
He said he's visiting, and he's known him for a long time.
Yeah, yeah. Jack Easterby is just a complete manipulator, but the Aggies or no team in sports is dumb enough to try to bring him in any official capacity. If they do, good luck, because you deserve what you get.
And you know what? If he's there, let's get him to football too. Tickle me, Elko, Mike Elko, You need to get Jack Easterby speaking to the football team too. Make it a sports wide thing. Easterby and Mike Elko and yeah. Easterby and Buzz Williams. Let's just give him a full role.
Yeah, yeah. No, that ain't gonna happen. But he's never gonna change. He's completely what he was here. And so,
but they have different relationships.
He may well,
with him.
Yeah, and he's known him for longer. He may well try to do his thing, but it ain't going to happen.
But there
and
is,
if it does, they deserve what they get.
There are some people though that, even though your experience is different, mm-hmm. like you know, like when you graduate with someone in high school and then you see them like 2 years later, you're like, man, this is a different type of cat than the one I know.
Yeah.
I kind of might need to distance myself here. I think old Buzz might have to figure that
out.
Well,
he knows what the story is. He's read the stories, I'm sure. He's heard it. He's heard us on radio, or if not us, someone on radio talking about Jack. And my favorite part was the A&M Athletic Department spokesperson when the Chronicle did really a stupid story, a stupid headline about it. The A&M person said, no, he's not a part of anything. He's just visiting. They know the story.
I ain't seen no visitors on the floor hugging superstars.
On the floor, not hugging. Hey, that was more than a hug.
That
did look like a little bit more. I'm glad y'all saw it.
No. First of all, you absolutely have.
No.
You absolutely, everybody has.
Front row at the press conference.
You've never seen visitors on the sideline hugging players?
He was front row.
I understand that.
At the presser.
Yeah. I understand
how
that.
How was that?
And I
was on the court, man.
Like, it happens literally every Saturday in college football with people on the sideline hugging players.
Listen.
Like, literally every Saturday.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
John, I can't wait to get to this with Tyler.
Yeah.
Listen, it probably won't happen. I just can't believe you know Jack, and as you just said,
yeah.
Jack is one of the greatest manipulators we've ever seen in the history
He's
of the world.
He's a cockroach.
All right? And he multiplies.
Yeah.
and you are so confident.
Because of that.
That he is not. Because of, but you've seen his work.
No.
You've seen his work.
No.
You don't think he can slide himself in
with Buzz? I totally think that he's going to try to use whatever relationship he has as a vessel to get to somewhere else. I just think that, well, two things. It's one or the other. Ain't nobody over there that dumb. Okay. All right? And even if there is somebody that dumb and Buzz Williams says, you know what, I'll stand on this and it'll be my responsibility, then I'm not going to, like, be mad at A&M. I'm just going to say flat out, if they crumble and he eats that program from the inside like he did here, they deserve it.
I'm just saying.
They deserve it.
If the Jack I know can get this close.
Yeah.
Can get this close to be on the floor, mm-hmm. hugging the best player. Again, as I said with CJ and Amber Rose, that did not look like the very first time those two had walked to a car together.
Well, they've known each other for 10 years.
But I'm just saying, Wade Taylor, that didn't look like that we just met earlier this month.
Well,
that looked like we didn't had some moments together.
But that's also Jack, like, high-fiving players here. Like,
that was a hug awkward. And an embrace.
Yeah.
Whispers in his ear.
Yeah.
Just like we talked about.
Here's the other thing. Here's the other thing at work right here, because I can see him smiling as he's talking. I could just see you smiling. Are you smiling while you're talking?
Absolutely.
He always does, though.
Well, okay.
Yeah, I'm a smiler.
He's a smiling guy.
There's something that
else. Easterby takes his grin to the next level.
Brace yourselves, Tyler, but I'm going to give you a fair warning of what's going on here. If you are predisposed to kind of not like A&M, you're going to do some tweaking. You're going to do some twisting of the old knife just for fun, just for your own entertainment. The reality is what I just said. I mean, it's been reported. It's been talked about. It's been and again, they deserve it if they actually bring him in. But, like, I can tell, like, if you are already in the mind of, oh, I'm going to have some fun with this, then you're going to tweak even extra.
My whole response was to your response of that amount of confidence.
Yeah.
That this is nothing with Jack.
I never said this is nothing.
Or that he can't slide himself into this.
In fact, I said he would try.
Jack is going to be a chaplain at A&M and all that. Jack did what he did here because he saw a weakness and he saw a crack.
Yeah.
And he knew he could manipulate the.
And he's going to try.
The powers
I
that be.
I absolutely agree with
Wait,
that.
Wait, so he's going to be their chaplain?
No.
Oh, I'm sure he's going to be. Let me tell you something, man. He ain't no fan on the court hugging the superstar, man.
Yeah. He's already been leading chapel.
If he's buddies, he's not going to manipulate his way to the top with Buzz because I think Buzz is running a tight ship and he's going to stay in his lane. But he's involved in that program.
He? No, if he becomes involved officially and is anything more than a chaplain, they deserve what they get. But if he's a chaplain, they won Super Bowls in New England with him as a chaplain.
Man.
So maybe three straight Final Four runs, Tyler, or something. I don't know. As long as he's chaplain.
All I know is any A&M fan saw him hugging Wade Taylor after game one on the court. What in the hell is going on? What is going on?
Oh, God!
You're listening to KILT-AM, KILT-HD2. The Drive is live.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.